Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. In this week's episode, I want to answer the question, will AI eliminate your job? What you need to think about as a resilience professional. Now, you've seen the headlines that are out there that AI is coming for your job, and there's all kinds of panic and real talk coming from large company CEOs and others. And you've probably asked yourself, can AI really replace what we do in resilience? And I want to be clear that AI, especially generative AI, which is what most of us are talking about, tools like ChatGPT and Claude and others, is not just hype. In a lot of ways, it is changing how work gets done in your organization, whether you see that right now or not. But for resilience professionals, this is not a death sentence, but certainly it is an invitation to evolve the things that we are doing and how we are doing them when it comes to business continuity, crisis management, and IT disaster recovery. So this episode is about AI, it's about your role, but more importantly, it's about how to stay relevant in the months and years to come. When you start thinking about what your positioning is when it comes to using tools like AI. So I want to start by talking a little bit about what makes the most recent wave of AI different than what we've seen before. What I would say we have seen over the last 20 years or so is automation until recently. We have seen tools that have enabled us to automate certain things that we do and do that in a semi-intelligent way. For example, here at BrightPath, we use a tool, a SaaS tool called Zapier. I never did know how to pronounce it correctly. What Zapier does is it's kind of like the glue that connects different services together so that we're able to make things talk to each other that maybe weren't built that way out of the box. For example, if you set up an initial consultation call with our team here at BrightPath, you're doing that on our website using a tool called Calendly, which is a calendar application. And once you've set up that meeting, Zapier automates the process of taking info from that meeting, letting us know this has been scheduled in Slack, which is what we use for inter-team communication. So now everybody knows that this call is happening. It takes that information, it feeds it into Salesforce so that we have a lead created that we can track in Salesforce. And then it creates a new meeting in our meeting notes database in Notion where I can take notes in that sales conversation, that initial consultation conversation, and be able to have that ready without having to do any of this manually. That's automation. It's not really using AI. It's just using some very defined rule sets to do things. Generative AI is different. As we all saw when ChatGPT launched version 4, and then you've seen some other tools evolve and come along like Claude or Microsoft Copilot, which a lot of you are probably familiar with, these tools are different. They are large language models that have a massive base of knowledge, and in some cases, they've been customized with your knowledge base from within your organization. And we're seeing those capabilities get built into other tools. So we're seeing things now like automated AI-generated crisis communications messages that are generated within seconds and are often better than what a human could create in the same amount of time. We see AI tools beginning to write exercise scenarios, creating descriptions for business impact analysis and business continuity plans. We're seeing machine learning that identifies the most vulnerable links in your supply chain. So my point here is that generative AI is really good at taking on repeatable tasks, and I think AI is coming for all of that work. And we would be fools to not leverage that for our own needs here in resilience, but we would also be fools if we didn't realize that this freight train was coming down the tracks towards us, and we would need to evolve and learn some new skills to make this successful for all of us. But even with all that said, the strategic judgment in resilience, the strategic judgment in companies, still human. Part two that I want to talk about here is what roles are vulnerable and why are they vulnerable? At the end of the day, AI does not fire people. Leaders do. And they do that when your skills no longer meet the needs of the organization, when your skills have become obsolete. I think the roles that are most at risk for these kind of AI shifts are roles that are doing repeatable work. For example, a junior risk analyst, a technical writer that's just documenting procedures. I mean, here at Brightpath, we document a procedure by having a call and talking about how we do it, and then taking the transcript of that call and feeding it into the AI capability in Notion, the tool that we use for a lot of our internal collaboration, and having it create an SOP from that conversation. That's not a lot of human involvement, but humans are leveraging AI to actually do that work. Other roles at risk would be communication staff that are just using templates and pushing out the same communication. That can all be replaced by generative AI capabilities. These roles are easier to automate from an AI standpoint because these roles are tactical, not strategic. But roles that interpret, that influence, that lead, and can leverage AI are becoming more valuable than they were before. AI can write the brief, for example, for a crisis situation, but you still have to be the one that reads the room and persuades the group on the actions that you want to take. AI is not going to be capable of doing that. So the new career imperative from our standpoint is that you need to shift from execution to influence. If your value is in the doing of a thing, then I think your role is at risk. If that's all that you do, I just do things, then I think your role's at risk even in resilience. But if your value is in directing and influencing and connecting, then your role is safe. Either way, you need to make sure that what you are doing is influencing within your organization. And I would refer you back to our earlier episodes where we talk about our strategic edge about wielding influence as a resilience leader, that execution is not the same as influence, and that the highest impact resilience leaders shape strategy, not just implement it. So ways that you can improve your skills today for AI include learning how to properly use prompts. So there's a whole field now of prompt engineering. I would look at how to use and leverage AI effectively so that you can use these tools to help your resilience program. Look at how you can use AI to simulate a crisis and generate some of those ideas and scenarios, and then lead the debrief as a human, as an influential resilience leader. And continue to find ways to maximize the art of influence in your organization, because AI can't build trust or build relationships or influence your executives and your board, but you can. And you can leverage AI as a part of doing that. Your technical knowledge gets you in the room in these situations. It's your influence that keeps you there. So again, look at how you can leverage AI for the work that you are doing. See what tools are available to you within your organization, what tools you may want your organization to pursue. Here at Brightpath, for example, one of the things that we're doing is we're having an AI playground session most weeks, where we spend an hour focusing on developing new AI skills. We've also built our own internal GPT-like tool that understands our knowledge base of methodology and articles. And we're able to use that in order to further our work in a fast and rapid, repeatable manner. You do not need to learn how to code in order to accomplish these goals, but you do need to learn how to adapt. So I would encourage you to think about four things. First, how can you audit your current capabilities and responsibilities? What is routine for you? What is repeatable? And what is strategic? The second is to upskill now. Invest in AI literacy for yourself, not just, you know, learning more GRC and BC and DR tools. And learn how to write and evaluate AI-generated content. Learn how you can leverage AI to help you with that content. The third is to start integrating AI today. Use artificial intelligence to help draft initial communications, review emails you want to send, create crisis scenarios, and create BIA summaries. But you are still leading the interpretation and the recommendations. And then lastly, continue to work to build your cross-functional influence within the organization, because AI simply cannot navigate organizational politics. The future in our field will belong to the folks who can see what is coming and adjust to that disruption before it hits. And for us in resilience right now, that is understanding what the impact is going to be with generative AI, understanding that it's going to impact every single knowledge worker, including all of us in resilience. And you have two choices. You can ignore what's coming at you, or you can find ways to lead through it. So I would encourage you to take action using some of the things we've talked about in this episode and ask yourself, if AI took 40 or 50% of my job today, what would be left? And how can I start to leverage some of those things today and make that your focus area moving forward? That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.